I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We now take you to coverage of Sabres GM Jason Botterill at KeyBank Center.
Did you find the market for him was more difficult than you thought it would be? And is that a reflection perhaps of other teams' perceptions of the personal issues he's gone through in his career?
Well, I think as you saw throughout the market today, it was a difficult market for rentals. I think the players the younger players in the league certainly got a good reward. Players with term certainly got good reward. But it was a scenario where, we had a lot of conversations out there. There was certainly a lot of interest. But I think you saw with the rental market for rental players, it was more of a difficult market than previous years.
Were GMs concerned with his personal issues?
Look, I think in a situation where when you're looking to acquire a player, there's a lot of things that go into it. They certainly talked to us on a personal level about Evander. I think they talked about the scenario here in Buffalo. The bottom line is the market dictates what you're going to be able to get out there, and it's a scenario where they're looking at a lot of different things on what's right for their club in certain situations.
Jason, John Warrell. Yep. When it comes to rentals, some people are questioning and making comparisons to the Rangers dealing Rick Nash, who was also a rental to Boston, and believing that they got a better return on that. And as a second part of the question, there seems to be some confusion over the first round conditional pick, what year it is, both picks, what year it is, and whether the first round is conditional to him, to Evander re-signing with the Sharks.
Yeah, it's a first pick in 2019. Will remain a first pick in 2019 if Evander re-signs with the San Jose Sharks next year, or the San Jose Sharks win the Stanley Cup.
And the second part of the question, I'm sorry.
Yes.
The comparisons from what the Rangers got from Nash for Nash.
Yep.
And he was also a rental player, and the market seemed to be set there, where there are questions as to, you saying that the market was more difficult with Evander Kane. Can you explain the comparisons?
Look, I think it's difficult to understand what teams are looking for from a specific need. I think they could go in more depth, Boston could go in, but I know that they were certainly looking for more of a right winger in their scenario there. It's a scenario when we started out the talks with teams, you look back on past years on what players in Evander's situation, what they got in the open market, those are where our discussions began. And it's the same thing where we tried to talk and have dialogue with pretty much all the teams, certainly the playoff teams, to sort of see what the best offer would be for. And ultimately, we felt the best situation was to make a deal with San Jose.
Jason, it was put out there, what you would like to have received from Evander.
Mm-hmm.
Was that accurate, the information that was put out there, number one, and number two, was it just always a conditional pick? I mean, could you never, no matter whether we're talking 3 months ago or now, get somebody off that where, you could get that solid first?
Well, I guess, can you elaborate on what you felt was discussed and what was going to be out there?
Well, I had heard, I think TSN had reported that you wanted a first. You wanted a player. You wanted you got me. I can't remember exactly, but I just didn't know if the information that they had thrown out there it's like you were asking for the moon, and if that was accurate.
No, it's a scenario where we felt we respect what Evander brings as a player. We think he is a premium player, and it was a scenario where we talked about that to different teams as a starting point for discussions. And then it gets to a scenario where canvassing the market, seeing what the market is, what are teams willing to pay? And ultimately, that's what it comes up to. From a standpoint of over the last couple months on where we're at, we certainly had a lot of interest, a lot of discussion with different teams. The bottom line is we had one legitimate offer for Evander, and that's why we worked off of it with San Jose.
you guys need goals. Evander scores a lot of them. Why didn't you try to re-sign him? And how did he handle this whole situation? He clearly slumped for a while. He got going lately. But how did he handle it for the last couple months?
You can say from a production standpoint, he slumped a little bit. But I give Evander a lot of credit. I thought throughout this entire process, he played hard. It had to be a very difficult situation, talking to the media every day, talking about these questions. And I thought he handled himself extremely well. And I'm excited about his opportunity in San Jose. And hopefully he allows him to get into the playoffs and go all the way to win a Stanley Cup so we can keep the first round pick. But, it was a situation where, we just felt we had some good dialogue with Evander's agent over the previous couple months on what the situation was at. But the bottom line is we felt where we're at as an organization, we had to make changes. And we're excited that we were able to get a couple of draft picks. We're excited about bringing Dan O'Regan to our organization here right now. But as a result of where we are in the standings, we have to make changes to our organization. The group that we have right now is not working.
Kind of along those lines, in a broader sense, I think fans would wonder, how far away are you? How long is this whole thing going to take? And yeah, there's no way to gauge that but where do you think you are as an organization?
It's a difficult situation. We all know exactly where we are. You look at the standings and we know where we are. And there needs to be a lot of improvement in this organization across the board. And the beauty of our league right now, it's a very competitive league, but you can look at teams such as Colorado, such as New Jersey, who can make the adjustment fairly quickly. But it's going to be important for us. We have to continue to develop our young players within our organization here. We have to keep our players healthy that we do have right now. Right now, every organization has injuries. You know, it's not an excuse. It's going to happen. But we have to have more internal competition. We have to have players who are on our NHL roster who can step into situations when a Jack Eichel or when a Bogosian goes down with injury. We have to have more players that are ready to come up from Rochester. So it's a scenario where I don't have an exact time frame for you. I know everyone's looking for what it is, but this is the process that we go through right now, and it's important that we're not looking to, hey, in 3 years we're going to be competitive. It's important that we go through a process here so year in, year out, we're a competitive team.
Jason, you mentioned that this is a situation where a lot of improvement needs to happen, and the market dictated that players with term seemed to net the biggest return. What's the temptation to make a big splash with a player with term to get into the trade market?
No, we certainly had some discussion with that. But I think it's a scenario where the trade deadline day is so built up, but it's not the only time to actually make adjustments to your team. We had some good conversation on it. We understand a little bit where it is. We're going to continue to evaluate some of our younger players that we have on our team here. And I think our conversation is set up well for the draft in the summer when we're going to improve our team again and certainly make adjustments to our group.
Jason, just one thing to follow up, just on the specific. The Sharks listed that fourth rounder as a 2020. You guys did as 2019. What is that? Is it a 2019 fourth rounder or a 2020?
It is a 2019 fourth rounder.
And what are the conditions?
And if it's a scenario where the Sharks have, if they want to push it off, they can push it off and it will become a third rounder in 2020.
Okay. And just in overall, were you close to any other deals today or anyone else?
From our other players?
Yeah.
There certainly was a lot of discussion with our other players, with our other free agents, but it was a scenario where we didn't have the offers for other players, so we made the one move.
Two questions, and I'll start with this one. With Dan coming into the organization, do you see him going to Rochester, or do you see him coming up to Buffalo with how the season has gone?
He'll report to Rochester here right away. Dan is a player that obviously has the connection to some of our players in our organization from the Boston University connection there. We are very impressed with his skill level, certainly his hockey sense. You look at last year, the success he had in the American Hockey League, we think he's ready to make the jump here and stuff too. It's a scenario there. We've tried to build Rochester up to have a winning environment down there. He'll certainly help him here down the run, and we're hopeful that once he gets into our organization, play some games, that he'll be in the mix for a call-up.
Second question for you. Going back to the Kings game, there was the episode in the press box, we slammed the door and kind of stormed out. Your level of frustration this season, is this a worse scenario than you envisioned when you took over as GM?
When you take over as GM, you're prepared for everything. You always try to hope for the best, but you have to be prepared for all different scenarios. And you know, there's things that we're not happy about. We're not happy where we are as an organization here right now, and there's things that we have to go about to change that. I'll be up front. Situation in the LA game, one of the biggest disappointments for me right now is our home record. It's unacceptable. And I was looking at that game very closely, because if you remember that LA game, that was a kids game. Remember what happened in a previous kids game? Dallas Stars. So you're looking for a response. You're looking for a performance. And I understand where we are from a skill level sometimes, and that's on management to improve our skill level. But from a compete standpoint and preparation, we have to get better as an organization in those elements. And I've liked some of the improvements that we've made. You look at our power play, especially, it was unfortunate with the Jack's injury, but I thought the power play in January really took a step. I look over the last few weeks how Sam Reinhart's played. I look at our road record against some quality competition. These small things are great to see that improvement, but we have to have a better improvement at home ice.
Jason, you said a couple minutes ago that Evander's a premium player, but at the same time you made changes. It strikes me as very bizarre that to make changes on a bad team, you get rid of one of the best players without attempting to sign him. How much of the decision to not sign him came from ownership, and how much of it came from you?
Zero from ownership.
So you made the decision solely to not move forward to re-sign Evander?
Myself and the people that are in my management group and the people that I referenced made the decision, yes.
So would you say that Evander was simply too negative an influence in the room to go forward with, which is the narrative that's around the entire hockey world?
Not at all. Not at all.
So what's your response when people say that, though?
It's a scenario where Evander, in our situations with him, I've heard some of the rumors and stuff out there before, he handled himself very well in interacting with us. But the bottom line is we're working in a salary cap world. You understand what we have on the books for some contracts that are still here. You also understand what contracts coming into the mix starting next year. You also have seen our mix on the ice. And I'm not putting the blame all on Evander Kane. I'm putting the you know, there's a lot of blame to go around, coaching staff, management, players. We have to be better in certain situations. The bottom line is the mix that we have right now is not working. So we had to make adjustments. And so, yes, Evander Kane was a trade because we were able to get some assets back that was very helpful for our organization. And throughout the summer here, the spring and summer, we'll be making more adjustments to help our organization.
Did you send down Nelson and Baptiste to make them playoff eligible?
Yes, we did. They both will be obviously back here in Buffalo, but both of them were sent down, and they will be eligible to play in the American Hockey League playoffs. Okay.
Last one in the back. Jason, where's the balance between getting rid of UFAs that you have and then not making a move? Because there's people out there who would say, why would you not deal these people for anything? Did you have talks about some of these players? And I guess, where do you find that balance?
It was a scenario where we had a lot of talks with different teams about some of our players, but the bottom line is the offers weren't there for some of our free agents. So it was a situation where we made the decision, and it's a scenario that they remain on the team, and we're looking forward to the next couple weeks.
Thanks, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.